Hello, I'm Govinda Gill with the BBC News. India has denied US accusations that it's funding Russia's war in Ukraine after Washington announced tariffs on Delhi for buying oil from Moscow. Speaking at a leadership summit in Delhi, the Indian Foreign Minister, Subrahmanyam Jaishankar, said China and the European Union bought more oil and gas from Russia but had not faced similar tariffs.
The same arguments which have been used to target India have not been applied to the largest oil importer, which is China, has not been applied to the largest LNG importer, which is the European Union. When people say we are funding the war or putting money in the coffers of Putin, India-European Union trade is bigger than India-Russia trade. So is American money not, European money not putting money into Putin's coffers?
South Africa is reported to be investigating claims that hundreds of its young women have been recruited to build and maintain military drones in Russia under harsh conditions. Non-governmental agencies in Nigeria, Zambia and Senegal have also expressed concern. Here's David Bamford.
The Paris-based agency LSI Africa says that under what Moscow calls the Alabuga Start programme, women from South Africa and numerous other African countries, enticed by career offers, are sent to a special economic zone in Tatarstan in central Russia. The Russian Telegram channel features alluring videos portraying idealised working and training conditions. But reports say the women are forced to do dangerous, poorly paid work in unhealthy conditions under constant surveillance.
The military government in Guinea has suspended the three main political parties for 90 days. The move has taken place ahead of a constitutional referendum due in September. It has raised fears that the military may intend to permanently restrict political opposition. Civil society groups have planned protests to condemn what they see as a power grab by the military ruler, General Mamadi Doumbouya. The army seized power 4 years ago and missed a promised election deadline last December. Palestinian media say at least 19 people have been killed by Israeli strikes on a camp for displaced people in southern Gaza's Khan Yunis. The Israeli military is also continuing its offensive on Gaza City. Here's Emma Nader.
Mourners at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis said an entire family were killed when their tent was hit by an Israeli strike. Attacks were also reported in Deir al-Balah in central Gaza and in the north of the Strip. Video footage showed the dawn light over the ruins of northern Gaza City clouded with plumes of smoke. Local journalists reported airstrikes and shelling on the outer neighbourhoods of Sabra and Zaytun, where a number of buildings were reported to have been destroyed.
World News from the BBC. Opposition parties in Sri Lanka have accused the government of detaining the former president because of fears that he might return to power. Ranil Wickremesinghe was arrested on Friday in connection with the alleged misuse of state funds for private travel. He denies the charges. He lost last September's presidential election to Anura Kumara Dissanayake. Indian police have arrested a former cleaner in connection with a mass burial case in the southern state of Karnataka. The man, who was a key whistleblower in the case, alleged he'd been coerced into burying multiple murder and rape victims over several years at Dharmasthala, home to an 800-year-old Hindu temple. Officials say the arrest was made after inconsistencies were found in his statements. South Korea's President Lee Jae-myung has called for closer cooperation with Japan at a summit in Tokyo. The meeting is the first for a new South Korean leader whose initial destination after taking office would usually be Washington, a key defence ally. Here's David Oh from the BBC's Korea Service.
In his first foreign visit since he won a snap election in June, South Korean President Lee chose neighbour and former colonial master Japan. Previous South Korean presidents have gone to the U.S. first. But despite lingering tensions, Mr. Lee said he hopes to deepen security cooperation with Tokyo. Lee also emphasized the need for Seoul and Tokyo to work more closely together.
Syria is to devalue its struggling currency by reportedly dropping two zeros from its banknotes. The governor of Syria's central bank described the move as a strategic pillar of monetary reforms. The Syrian pound has lost 99% of its value since the civil war began in 2011. BBC News.